Noreen's question has to do with Easter traditions. She says, so many Christian denominations practice or celebrate Lent. I know that the Bible is clear about Passover, but what about the 40 days of Lent? You know, giving something up. What about Ash Wednesday? Is there any biblical basis for these things? And how do I explain to friends and family who practice them, Catholic or otherwise, why I don't?
Wow. You know, this is, I appreciate the listeners opening up cans of worms for me to answer live on the air to people around the world.
But now you had time to prep.
I did. Okay. No, I did. I just, you know, there's an easy answer to this. It just may not be easy to hear. First of all, let me say, there's not a biblical basis. I'm just going to come out and say that, and then I'll give you the background for it. There is no biblical basis for Lent. And many of the things that happen around this time of year, Ash Wednesday and all that, many of them, they're traditions. But actually, these traditions, Noreen, they go all the way back to Babylon and the Babylonian religion is where they come from. And this may take a little moment to just talk a little bit about that. All major religions of the world go back to Babylon. That's where they go. And that's why we see in Revelation God judging spiritual Babylon. We see that in Revelation chapter 18, where God judges, or 17, and then 18, economic Babylon. But he judges them because it's a world religious system. And here's what religion is. There is a biblical religion. We've talked about this. It is truly taking care of widows and orphans. And again, if it's done in a lot of the scripture, there can be a proper usage for that word. But beyond that limited usage, really religion, the way man talks about it, is an abomination to God. Religion, you know, God hates religion. And that may sound radical for some of you to hear. But what I mean by that is religion under this definition, man's attempt to reach God. Man's religion is, I'm going to reach up to the heavens, I'm going to do works, I'm going to earn my way into heaven, and that way I'll make it to heaven. God hates that because no one can work their way into heaven. The only way you get into heaven is by confessing you're a sinner and believing that Jesus did the work for you by dying on a cross and spilling his blood. And then if you accept that for your sin, then you're born again and you can be in heaven. So that's man's religion. And it goes back to Babylon because remember, they built this tower up into the heavens that, again, most believe were about seven. It was about seven stories high. It had these steps that went up to each different level that went around it. And they literally were working their way up to the god or gods of heaven, if you will. And it was something they were earning. So it was all based on works. So anytime you have a religion based on works, it's a man's based religion because it's not by works. It's by faith and by grace that we're saved. So where does this come from? Well, back at Babylon, which is the roots of this, there was this leader by the name of Nimrod. You'll see him in Genesis. It talks about him being a mighty hunter before the Lord, and it really means a man who hunted men's souls. The full meaning is he was an evil man who was leading people away from God. Married to a woman by the name of Semiramis, according to history and tradition, and they had a child by the name of Tammuz. And what happened was is that Nimrod died, according to the legend. Then after Nimrod died, Semiramis had this virgin birth of Tammuz, and Nimrod inhabited Tammuz and was resurrected inside of Tammuz. And so you had this child resurrection from a virgin. Isn't that interesting? It goes all the way back to the Babylon early in Revelation, or rather in Genesis, and spoken of again in Revelation. And you say, well, how could Satan have known that? How could Satan begin to mock the true way that God was going to do it? Because back in Genesis chapter 3, God told him that there was going to be a virgin birth. He said, the woman will have seed, and he will defeat you. Well, women don't have seed. That's what the men have. So he knew right then there's going to be a virgin birth, and so he began to build these religions based off of a virgin birth that were askew of the real so that when the real came along, it would deceive as many as possible. And you see the mother-child imagery all the way back in Babylon, working all the way through man's religions, even up until today. And again, it was all designed to mock the true Mary giving birth to Jesus and all that went with that. Well, they believed there was a resurrection in the spring of Tammuz. Okay, this was the son that was born, virgin born, where there was a resurrection. You can see the picture here being painted. And so they would also worship the goddess at this time, a goddess by the name of Ishtar. And that is where we get today the Ishtar bunny. It comes from that Babylonian tradition of Ishtar. And the Ishtar bunny, they did that because they were known to be fertile animals. And an egg is a sign of fertility. So the Ishtar bunny would lay an egg, and they would actually color eggs to represent the fertility of Ishtar and this resurrection of Tammuz that happened in the spring.
Amazing.
Yeah. And from then also came the Yule log, believe it or not, which represented a lot of things to do with the religion and the worship of Tammuz and all that with the Yule log. But then where's the 40 days coming? Well, when this tradition started, they would start celebrating the resurrection of Tammuz, which they said happened in the spring, 40 days early. And so they would represent it, and they would give things up. They would sacrifice things. They would do works. They would do these efforts for 40 days leading up to the resurrection of Tammuz in honor of Ishtar and Tammuz. So they were all pagan foundation traditions and religions. And then when the Babylonian, and this was happening back in the Babylon. So when the Babylonian, when Babylon fell, the Babylonian priests, they now have traced them historically, the priestly line, if you will, the priests that were there, they moved from there over to Pergamos, which is where God talked in Pergamos about where the altar of Satan was there in Revelation. So we saw that it moved there. The tradition carried on. And then I believe that it moved from Pergamos over into, again, Europe, where we had the Roman Empire and all the different religions and different gods that came from there. And it can be traced, I think, fairly confidently, historically, through those means. But it passed down through every different country and religion. So you have, in all of them, you have a mother child, you have a resurrected son, you have the bunny, you have the eggs, you have Ishtar, which we now call Easter, and that has worked all the way through into major denominations and non-denominations all the way up until today. Now, that by no means negates the fact that Mary was a virgin and gave birth to Jesus, and he's the Savior of the world. It was just Satan recognizing what God was going to do, so he started mocking it in advance because of what God had said at the very beginning in the garden in Genesis 3, and then paints this whole picture that, you know, makes it look like this thing that's made up. As a matter of fact, there's some people, because they don't understand Genesis, they say today, well, look, Christianity just borrowed from the Babylonian religions, and they have their own virgin and their own child. So he was very successful in his deception. But what they don't understand is no, the Lord said it first. Satan got it, deceived, and then carried it on because he knew it was coming, and sure enough, it happened. So, do I think somebody's going to hell because they, you know, celebrate Lent or whatever? No, I don't think that I could go that far to say that. But I'll say that Ash Wednesday and Lent and all these things, these are Babylonian traditions that are non-biblical, that are passed down through the church, and are easily traceable all the way back to Babylon. This is not just me talking. You do your research. There's lots of documentation out there. So I would just say, and I'll get back to your question. I want to lay a foundation first and kind of say this is what we're talking about. But now to get back to your question, how do you basically explain it to your friends? You know, what I would say is look, I know that as a tradition, that's something you do in your church or whatever. But for me, I feel convicted that I don't want to be a part of that because it actually traces back to Babylon. And we know that historically. You can find that in ancient documents where they worshipped Ishtar and had the Ishtar bunny and the coloring of eggs and the 40 days prior to the resurrection of Ishtar's virgin-born son, Tammuz. And so they would celebrate that and say, you know what? I just don't want to, I'm going to worship Jesus, but I don't want to do it the way, I don't want to do it that way. I want to do it the way that they did it, that these false religions did it. So you've got to determine between you and the Lord what you want to do, but it's for me and my house, so to speak, we're going to serve the Lord. And there's no easy way to do it without it being maybe a little bit uncomfortable. You don't have to be rude, you know, be polite, but just say, maybe even approach it like this. Did you know that these traditions come from Babylon and ancient Babylonian false religions? No, I didn't know that. And then tell them. Look it up. Do your homework. Tell them the story I just told you and say, you know, it's been adopted by the church. And I think that it's something that as believers, you know, we should stay away from. So we don't have bunnies and eggs and all those things. And that's what we're going to do. And so, and people are going to say, well, you know, you're extreme and you're this and that or whatever. Let them say what they want. It's your conscience between you and God that you've got to walk with. I know for me, and my family, we've stayed away from it. And I just kind of steer clear of that and don't get involved in any of that. And if there's an opportunity to share what it means, then, I take that opportunity like now.
And not even eat a Cadbury egg.
Well, no, I didn't say I wouldn't eat a Cadbury egg.
Just teasing.
You know, look, candy's candy. Chocolate's chocolate. You know,
I'm
again, Paul said meat's only meat.
That's
so,
right.
I have no problem with a Cadbury egg.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But again, that, you know, it does bring up, Greg, because there are questions about, you know, the traditions that do go along with this time of year. And, you know, I don't want to go much farther and speak condemnation on anybody that is involved in certain things, but I would challenge all of us as believers, do your homework, look these things up, read about them, find out what their tradition origins are, find out whether or not it's something you really want to raise your kids in and that you really want to be a part of. And I know you say, Mark, you're taking away all the fun of this time of year. Well, I'm not taking away the fun. Look, I think, how do you get more fun than Jesus Christ rising from the dead and celebrating his resurrection and the fact that he's coming to establish his kingdom. It doesn't get any better than that. And so I think that, and the Bible's very clear too, Greg, you know, there's a lot of other things. It tells us to stay away from worshiping our God the way that the world worships their gods. God gives a warning about that. He says, I don't want you to worship me the way that they worship their gods. That's why he gives some, there's some really strange things that God tells the children of Israel not to do that if you don't know the background are kind of weird. He says, don't shave the edges of your beard, right? And don't boil the child in the mother's milk of the animal, you know, when you're cooking or whatever. There's a humanitarian thing there,
right?
First of all, but also in the pagan religions, they would take the child, you know, the kid, if you will, of the goat or whatever, the other animals, and they'd boil it in the mother's milk as part of a ceremony to their gods. And the trim around the head, this one's kind of funny to me because what they would actually do is they would round, like an afro, they would round their head, those who had hair that was kind of fluffy, they'd round it, and their beard, they'd round it to look like a planet, and they'd worship Saturn and the planets, and that's
amazing.
What God said. They're looking like a planet walking around,
yeah.
And so God said, don't shave the corners of your beard, don't round yourself off like the pagans are doing, because you're going to look like you're worshiping Saturn or whatever the case might be. So even if you're not doing it, don't look like you are, this kind of thing. And that's kind of funny to me because I always think about that that guy, it's not, who was it? There was some Electric Light Orchestra. Was that the name of the group?
ELO.
The guy that had the ELO, had the hair, the big afro hair, and it looked rounded when you looked at it, all the album cover. Anyway.
Well, Bob Ross, the painter on PBS.
That guy, there you go. Bob Ross needs to repent. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It has nothing to do with Bob. And if no offense to anybody. We're having fun. But that's the traditions. Where do the traditions come from and why are we doing them? And there's certain ones, you know, that like, you know, Christmas time, you know, we know that Christmas isn't really on that day and that kind of thing, as far as the birth of the Lord. I don't have a problem with celebrating the Christmas at that time. We can celebrate the birth of the Lord at that time. We just don't do it the way the pagans did it when they worshiped Saturnalia. That's all. And so it's, you know, you have great freedom to worship God. As Paul would say, I worship every day. So I'm not going to be limited by what the pagans are doing. But you want to be careful that you're not doing it specifically the way that the pagans did it so that we're pleasing unto the Lord.